Seven knife and hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven knife and hell is.
Yo, 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 Seven Knife and Hallis fans, we are back, man. It's your boy Scott here for another edition of our off-season series, man, episode 219. My brother Flores will be joining us in a minute. He is stuck in weekend Chicago traffic, and you guys actually have good weather out there this weekend, so I know about how Chicago traffic is when it's good during the weekend, so he should be pulling up in a minute. We've got a guest we're going to introduce in a minute, but of course, you know where to follow me on Twitter, at BarbChairScott. Follow 79th and Hallis, 79th A&D Hallis on Twitter. Follow Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Visit thebcnet.com. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. We've got a new episode of Cinema with the Guys up right now. Me and homie Dante breaking down the crazy episode 3 of Succession, season 4. And we've also got summer sessions up. We're going over everything in Ignorant News, so check that out. And of course, if you are trying to watch the NFL draft, we have an event in Chicago. If you are looking for a spot to watch it, it will be on actual draft day, draft night, which will be Thursday, April 27th, with our partners Haymarket Pub and Brewery, that is downtown Chicago, the West Loop area, 737 West Randolph Street. It will be from 5 to 10:30 p.m. Doors open around 4:30. Come get a drink. Come get some food. It'll be hosted by the homie JR Bang. The homegirls, the label, will be DJing. We're going to have raffles, man. So just come through, support. Even if you're not a Bears fan, we're inviting all fans. This is an overall NFL draft watch party. Even if you are unfortunately a Packer fan or a Lion fan or a Viking fan, come on out, man. Come out and have a good time with the crew, man. So we're really looking forward to that. But let's get into our guest, man. We got a special guest here today to discuss some draft prospects with, man. We got the homie Kyron Samuels. I don't want to pronounce your name wrong. Kyron, right?
Yeah, Kyron. So just Kyron, everybody
Kyron,
call me
my
Kyron.
My bad, bro. Kyron. Kyron
Samuels. Yeah, Kyron easy, so we just leave it at Kyron.
My bad. Yeah, so he is you got a lot of experience in football, man. You used to play offensive line for the Arena Football League, also with the Ohio Valley Conference, and right now you're a senior consultant and staff writer for Gridiron Heroics, man. So thank you for joining us. You're one of my favorite followers on football Twitter. Definitely, it's good to have you here today, man. And as speaking of the devil, here comes my brother.
Flo. I let myself in. I'm not letting you let me in.
But yeah. So
I'm gonna cut you off right here. I'm gonna introduce myself. First of all, Kyron, it's good to have you on my show. I'm thankful that you're here. If everybody who missed me, sorry, I'm just coming out of work teaching kids. So. Sorry that I'm late. Chicago traffic's terrible. Continue, Scott.
Oh, yeah. So we was just giving his intro, man. But thank you for joining us today. You're one of our favorite football followers. Like, you like really in-depth with like your analysis, which is what I like, which is like something that you and my brother do too. I like the X's and O's, but I just be talking. You know what I'm saying? That's just really what my style is. But right. Thank you for joining us, man.
No problem, man. Glad to be here. I've been following you guys for a long time. I told your brother, but I wanted to congratulate you guys for building this from the ground up, because I remember when you guys first started it and y'all was just now venturing in, and now you accredited, you go into the big events and you credentialed, and that's a hard thing to do in this business. So congratulations.
Oh, man, I appreciate that, brother. Thank you so much.
So we're going to get to it right now. First of all, I wanted to start off with we're a couple weeks away from the draft. A lot of rumors is going on about what's Ryan Poles gonna do, what are they gonna do with the 9th pick. I feel like it's been very silent on the Bears front. Like, we heard a couple rumors like a couple weeks ago. There was the JSN rumors was real loud. Then it was Jalen Carter's visiting, Hallis Hall. And now we've been hearing too, they might trade back a couple to get more, maybe even trade up to get a Will Anderson. So Kai, just tell us, man, what from an outsider's perspective, what do you think about what the Ryan Poles has built so far, and what do you think his game plan should be going into this draft?
Well, I love the fact that he accumulated a ton of picks and he added some vets. Like, it's one thing to have the picks and the money, but you still need guys that can contribute right away. And I thought he did a really good job of adding vets like Nate Davis from the Tennessee Titans. He's not a Pro Bowl level guy. He's not an All-Pro guy, but what he is a solid plug and play day one starter. And that's what you've been needing for the Bears, consistency up front in the trenches. And I do like the Edmonds pick. I think it's a little bit it's a lot of money, man. Let's be real about it. But he's swinging for the fences. You got to take risk. I mean, that seems to be the market. You know, Devin White is demanding 18 to 20 on the market. So Roquan got paid. So it seems to be the market for premier interior linebackers now. So he went out and got the guy that he thinks is going to be the guy. So I do like that. And I'm just looking at it like, I think the Bears are in a great position because you can't really fuck it up. I mean, you have so many needs. Whoever you take at that ninth pick, or if you decide to trade back, it's going to be beneficial. It's only going to improve the team and the depth of the team. So I really like what they've done so far, and I'm excited to see what they do in the draft with these picks, especially in the second, third round.
Yeah, and those to me are like the guys where like he really like tries to like hit on. I think last year, like even if you look at like some of just the picks in like Bears history, even like before Ryan Poles, like a lot of the really good players we've had have been in the later rounds. Like Eddie Jackson is probably I think Eddie Jackson is like one of maybe two people still here from the 2018 team, and he was Eddie was like fourth or fifth round, Joe. It was one of the two.
Yeah, because he tore his ACL coming out of Bama, so he was like late first, projected second, and he fell and ended up having a productive career so far with the Bears. So,
yeah, and so and it's like I feel like Poles, and this is something we talked about on this podcast, he's going with the long road. And this is actually something he said this week, and y'all want to get your opinion on what he said. Basically, he said that he's doing all this for the long journey. And I know this is something that we know as Bears fans. Bears fans ain't trying to hear that shit. Right. What do you think about what his actual philosophy is, and do you think that Bears fans are losing patience?
Well, I mean, as with anything, when you want something to last, typically, you have to do it at a consistent pace. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's slow, but for every person who does build something, their pacing is different. Now, take into account that this is professional football, I've just never seen buildings of contenders or championship teams that just happened very quickly. Unless there was a base. And if there was a base, then I say you weren't really rebuilding it the first time.
Yep.
I mean, coming in, Ryan Poles, I think the only thing, I mean, shoot, when he first came in, it was is Justin the person we're going to look at. You had to consider every single person on that team. I mean, I think our first initial thing was, oh, man, you know, probably Roquan's safety. You're like, as time goes on, he's probably not. Then Roquan's gone. And so when you're looking at the position that Poles was in, and you're taking this charter franchise that ain't really acted like a charter franchise in 30 years and having to create a contender out of it, that just takes a long time. Add into the fact
Ryan Pace
add into the fact that Ryan Pace was just not good at his job, you know, and was spending money, but spending money erratically and in places that didn't necessarily need precedence over others. That's a hard job. And then this is just his second year. This is his second year going into it. It's going to take time. And unless the Bears could offer every player a $2 billion contract or offer a player $100 million for a year, then you're not going to get an insane turnaround. Like, that just happens in a year. That being said, I can understand if around year three, given this year, that you start saying, okay, what are the results going to happen? As of right now, it's do these pieces work? And they should work, at least on offense, if your quarterback is good. And if Justin Fields continues what I think, and I'm biased because I love the Buckeyes, he turns into a great player, then I think these should work just perfectly. The defense, you have to continue working on that. But it seems like the pieces there. But Bears fans, they're fans just like I'm a fan. And sometimes we can be irrational because, especially in the day and age that we have, we want everything immediately.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think also the thing, too, that I think a lot of fans aren't thinking about, which they should, is something which you just said. If Justin does make that leap, they're going to be better just off the quarterback making the leap. Like, how many times we've seen, and I'm not trying to compare the two, obviously, but how many times Aaron Rodgers has been with bad rosters for years, but he's like elevated them to another level because of how great he was, you know, and things like that. So I feel like if he takes that leap, especially now with the wide receiver crew that he has with him, and then that's just gonna make the team better. And you're in a division that, you know, and I know everybody is high on the Lions, you know, my brother's high on the Lions. I still say that the Detroit Lions until proven otherwise. Like, I think they'll be good. I think they should be the favorite of the division because we don't know what the Bears are gonna be yet. The Packers are going to be rebuilding, and the Vikings are selling assets. So, yes, they should be the favorite. But I've never seen more hype for a team that missed the playoffs in my life. So I'm still trying to figure out you know where the Bears will fit in there. And if he takes the next leap, maybe it can be something that will get them a chance to at least be in the race for the division sooner rather than later. What do you think about the actual like landscape of the NFC North right now for the Bears?
Well, I think it's a great opportunity for them to grow out winning a little bit. A lot of times you just get in those positions where you got to take 2 years, 3 years to rebuild, and that just is what it is. But I don't think the division is overly competitive, in my opinion. Just so good where they can't be competitive. They were competitive this past year. The last couple of years, they went in a lot of close ball games that went down to the wire. You got a turnover here, interception there, or they missed the Vikings game. That first Vikings game was brutal the way that game ended this past season. So they've been competitive already. If you continue to build a roster, and like you guys said, Justin makes that step, I don't see why they can't be competitive in that division. I think the Lions are a solid football team, but like you said, until they prove they can get over the hump, you got to take it for what it is, man. I don't see them winning 13 ball games. And then the Vikings, they had a negative point differential last year. The NFL is too volatile. I don't see that ever happening again. So they're a solid football team with some decent pieces. But like I said, if you continue to build this roster and Justin makes a step, there's no reason to believe why these guys can't compete right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if you look at like the two biggest holes on the team, there was holes all over the damn team. Like, how many times he was up there in that booth and we was like, who the hell is this dude playing left tackle today? Because, you know, as great as Tevin Jenkins has a lot of promise, he got to stay healthy. And like, you know, we got the news this week from him that he will be moving to left guard this season. What do you think about like the offensive line? I feel like that was the number one weakness even more than the wide receivers, because how many times, like, and there was one time Justin used to take, like, I feel like the longer the season went, the longer Justin took to get to the podium. And that's because he was licking his wounds from the ass kicking he was taking. Like, it'll be sometimes we're waiting 45, 50 minutes and Justin Steele isn't out. Now, if we look at Justin, you know, they, like I said, they've added Nate Jones. I think they're going to add a couple more through the draft. How do you think that, you know, having a more, like a better wide receiver core will help, even though the offensive line is 100% where it needs to be?
Well, one, I do like the foundation of the offensive line right now. I think Braxton Jones was a little bit better than everybody expected him to be last year, and you may have your franchise left tackle. So I think it's a great move to bump Tevin inside and put those two young guys next to each other and let them grow together. Because if you can lock down that side of the line and you really only need to focus on center and right tackle, I think you can make a big step as far as protection this year. Because if you look at like the, and I hate these guys, like if you follow my Twitter, you know, these advanced analytics can really lie to you. Yeah, like Justin had like the third highest time to throw this year, but that's because of his ability to extend plays and stay right. So it doesn't show the full picture. He's running for his life after game. So I think they can make a big step there. They're already very solid run blocking. I mean, you got a stable of backs. I know they had some turnover this year. You got Dante Foreman in there, and then I forget my man Demo, I believe his name is. He's with the Lions now, right?
Yeah.
But they swap backs, but the running game I have zero problems about. I think they're going to be fine running the football, but you have to give this guy more time to really be decisive. And like you guys said, the receiving core being better is 100% going to help that. You got a guy like DJ Moore that can get open. You got a guy like Claypool that can stretch the field a little more. Just putting those guys together and marrying their skill set should be able to really open up the offense. And it's really on Justin. And that's why I said I'm really looking forward to them building this offensive line, because then you can really see what you have at quarterback in Justin.
Yeah, definitely. Joe, what do you think?
I agree wholeheartedly. I think with Braxton Jones, and I was going to ask you the question, Kyron, like, is it – his step is quick. I've seen him get off the line very quick. I think my only concern is strength. And, of course, you playing offensive lineman at a high level, how easy is it for him to gain the strength necessary to take the next level?
Yeah, so it's a twofold question. But I think the way to answer it is the best weakness to have is lack of strength. That's the easiest thing to fix at this level. Because you got the nutrition programs, you got the weight programs. They had the benefit of not having to go through a postseason run and having an extra month out of the season. So he has a lot more time to develop that strength. And as you get older, you know, we always had the term man strength. You're going to get a little bit stronger, get your man strength. So you add those two things together, that's the best weakness you can have. Because he does have he's really good at getting in position. He has really good feet, like you said. And he's young. I think he's only going to get better. So the best weakness you can have at this point is strength. But if it's a problem in year two and year three, then that's when we can revisit and be like, okay, this is a guy that is a decent player, a good player, but we need to look for another guy at that point. But I think he's going to be able to gain that strength over the course of his career.
Yeah, I think that was – the more I've I think it's the Bears fan PTSD where we're so used to the worst. We're so used to the worst that when we see something that resembles something good, we want it to be perfect. And so I was even unfairly criticizing Braxton Jones, even though when I look back at him, I was like, nah, man, he would get off the ball quick. His hands would be in the right position. Strength, of course, I expected just because you're a rookie and you're playing against veterans who've been lifting, who've been competing at a professional level. So I knew it would be tough. That's why I asked, like, how easy is it? And that makes total sense. And so with the Bears, I think the biggest thing that they have to concern themselves with in terms of that offensive line is, you know, with center, is Lucas Patrick your goal, or does Doug Kramer out of Illinois, he was injured last season, does he become a person who can be good? And then you got to look at the right tackle position, because right tackle was just a struggle all year. And, of course, you know, you weren't lying about the advanced analytics. Justin got out a lot. But in hindsight, man, every time I would see him snap the ball, I'm like, oops, somebody's getting blew up. Somebody's getting blew up online. It's time to move. And then, of course, there were times with, you know, when you're I used to call Mr. Biscay Happy Feet because he'd have to move around. But even his offensive line was better than what Justin had. And Justin will get that, too, where it's like, I don't see nobody. I need to get out the pocket. And I think in having receivers who he can trust who are, if their natural position, Darnell Mooney can go back to a two or two or three. Same with Chase Claypool, DJ Moore can be their number one. You'll have more confidence, maybe staying in and taking the hit. Or then even the thought, okay, Braxton Jones, who he is getting more comfortable with. Okay, now you know what? I trust that he's going to hold this block. I'm going to stay here. I'm still going to have those senses going off in my peripheral, but I'm going to stay here because I trust him. And I think more than anything, it's the Bears, this offensive line, the skill unit, coming together and forming a bond that you can't do it inorganically, but coming and having a bond organically that allows Justin to trust all these people. Because I think for most professionals, the biggest thing is confidence. The biggest thing is confidence. There are some who are just unskilled and don't need to be there, but the vast majority who've shown that spark, they can sustain it if they have the confidence. And Justin has more than shown that. Now it's just time for them to put the right people around them. I think skill-wise, they've done a good job. And like you said, Kyron, the run game, I'm not concerned with the run game. I think the run game will be just fine, which was just interesting. The Bears can run block well, but then once it's time to get that foot back and start, you know, coming out, it gets compressed. But, you know, so no, I'm still hopeful. I'm interested in what happens with the right tackle. Because I think interior-wise, I'm not upset. I like I don't know what's going to happen with Cody Whitehair, but I'm fine with him. I'm fine with Tevin Jenkins. I think Tevin Jenkins, I think, is just health-wise. I think if he can get that sort of route, I think you have a really solid guard.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get into the actual number 19 before we break down the actual, like, you know, offensive line, defensive line prospects. I know you've seen – I know you've also – you're a big JSN guy. I've seen you tweet about him a lot. There's a lot of – I feel like the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of chatter about the Bears being linked to JSN, even more particularly me and you were talking about Chase Claypool before we got on. And I think personally this season is going to be a contest between Claypool and Mooney, which I think would be good. But also, who's going to be the guy who's going to get the contract? I don't think both of them are getting paid. So I think it's going to be who's going to be one who performs the most. And who's going to be the one who they're probably going to move away from. And I think that's some reason why I think it's a high possibility that they could get JSN. One thing we've seen from polls is sometimes he doesn't always go for need. We knew coming to free agency, need was offensive line, defensive line, and a wide receiver. And he went out there and got two linebackers. Of course, after getting DJ Moore, which we all knew was the number one receiver to get. Would you think it would be a reach if the Bears did get JSN at a nine?
No, not at all. I love JSN that much, so I don't think it would be a reach, but I do think there are more needs. Like, you went out and got DJ Moore. You're expecting Claypool to make a leap, and Darnell Mooney has already proved that he's a very solid receiver. So I think the receiving core is good enough. Could it be better? Absolutely. We all know it could be better, but I do think there's more positions than needs. And at nine, this is the conversation. Is like, I think that they could trade down and get a right tackle, because that's what they need. They need a right tackle. You could trade down, acquire more assets, and get a right tackle anywhere between 17, 32, wherever you want in that range. So it's going to be a really good right tackle prospect there. And then also, I know for sure, it's very interesting. So you look at the draft order, right? We know Jalen Carter isn't going in the first four picks. So Seattle has the fifth pick at this stage, and the Raiders have the seventh pick at this stage. I could be, you know, this isn't like uncommon knowledge for the Raiders. The Raiders are out on him. And I know for sure from people in the building that the Seahawks are also out on him. So you get to a situation where the Lions are there at six, and then you got the Falcons there at eight, and then you guys are right there after them. So yeah. Between that six, eight, and ninth pick, he could be there at nine for the Bears to take. And at that stage, I think it's a no-brainer. You have to take Jalen Carter. The upside is too high. He's probably the best non-quarterback in this draft. Him and Will Anderson is 1A and 1B, in my opinion. So I think that could become – that could take precedent over everything right there. Because the defensive line is – interior defensive line is also a need for the team. But we, if you can get a guy like that at pick nine, you have to take him, in my opinion. So it's a lot of things that could fall into place for the Bears where the decision could get tricky. But if Jalen Carter is there at nine, I think you take him. And if, you know, you have your right tackle that you believe some people think that's a little bit high to draft the right tackle. I'm not one of those people. If that's the need for your team and you can get a guy that comes in there and starts day one and protects your quarterback, that's who you take. So Peter Skoronski out of Northwestern, I think that would be a fine pick there. And I think he projects more as a right tackle on the next level. I hear some people saying that he could be a guard. But I think the position versatility does nothing but boost his value, even at the ninth overall pick. So I would think they would go one of those two players there at nine.
Yeah, I think with the Jalen Carter thing, I'm with you. Me and Joe were saying this a couple weeks ago. The tape does not lie. I don't take much from his pro day. He's probably had so much shit in his head, like, going on with all the recent events that I'm not going to take that and be like, well, that's not a reason we should draft him. I think, if anything, you're going to see whether, like, this is, like, a new era with the Bears, because the Bears traditionally don't really do controversy like that, especially after the – I think, Joe, who's the Tank Johnson have you the last? Like, after Tank Johnson brought a strap to Hollis Hall, he was like, you know what, enough of this shit. So that, to me, is what we're going to really see, like, you know, what the difference is. And it's a whole new regime now. So, you know, I have to give George McCaskey this. You know, we're going to, you know, shit on him when he fucks up. I got to give him some love. He actually did what he said he was going to do since, like, giving the reins up to Ryan Poles and hiring Kevin Warren over from the Big Ten. And he's really just playing the back right now. He said before, like, I'm not the football guy. I'm letting the football people do the football thing. So if they did draft Jalen Carter, to me, that would signal that this is a new regime, that everything the Bears used to move in the past is different now. Because I'm with you. If he's there, to me, it's a no fucking brainer. You get that guy, and you just hope that everything is good, and he'll be able to come in, and that's the immediate guy on your defensive line who can change everything, and now you can time to build around there. But Joe, what do you think about, like, the options the Bears have right now?
Well, Jalen Carter is still the most important one on my mind, unless, of course, he's taken before, because, like, it's the combine with me, or pro days with me, are interesting. I like to know 40s just because it's a cool stat. And it's, I mean, if you run a 4.2, you're going to be fast. But also, there are limits to it. There are limits to how much it can actually show how good a person can end up being. Then there are some which, like Tyreek Hill 40, was it a 4.3 or a 4.29? It's like, yeah, you get the ball to this guy, he's going to take off. But then there are others where it's like, well, bench press. Yeah, bench press is great. I love the bench press just because that was like a hallmark lift when I was in high school. It's all right, let's see who can do the most on bench. But there's so much that goes into blocking a person, more than just the bench and more than just the squatish or mobility. How well can your hips move in that situation? So, and then, you know, even with the I think probably the best one I like is the shuttle, the cones. I'm not sure what they call it now. But everything else I don't take too much stock in, because you're coming – not from being in the game. You're coming with some weeks off, some months off since the last time you played. And you have to then, especially in Jalen Carter's instance, focus your mind after losing your friends. Yes, he had some recklessness there, but he's also a young person. And I'm not going to just completely throw him away, because, man, kids do stupid stuff. It's a fact that we just have to be honest with ourselves. But then you look at that tape, man. It's like, God, he is incredible. He's just a dog. I mean, I think one of the most well-known one was, I think when he picked up, was it Hendon Hooker? I forgot who he picked up with one hand. I don't know if you
– It was Jaden Daniels in the SEC championship game.
That was it.
LSU. I mean, but he smacked Hendon Hooker too, so you could use either one of them. He picked Jaden Daniels, yeah.
And that's after blowing up the lineman in front of him.
Right.
And then it's like, yeah, I got
one arm. You know, so one arm, he picked him up, and then celebrating with the other. Like, I haven't seen this scene. Like, it's like, that's just crazy.
I have a trophy in my hand. Like,
yeah, other than it being hilarious, it's like, that's crazy functional strength. Like, you can blow the play up, lift the guy up, and celebrate at the same time. Like, it's just, I haven't seen anything like that. I think he's the best interior defensive line prospect since Aaron Donald. I think you can go him and Quinnen Williams are one and the same. You talk about ability, how they dominated in college, and their strength and their athleticism. Him and Quinnen Williams, 1A or 2A, 2B, however you want to slice it. But he's that good. He's the second best defensive line prospect in the last 20 years.
No, I agree. And I think the words that you so perfectly encapsulated was functional strength. When I was younger and I was just, it's time to go to the gym, it's time to curl, it's time to bench, it's time to squat. All right, I've done enough. Yep. I'm leaving. And that was what I did. And I would notice other people who would work on more function movements. I'm like, man, those guys are lifting so consistently. But that's what it takes to be as good as he was. And you just, I don't know if you can miss on that. And I would accept it more if I was a GM, if I was an owner, especially an owner since you hire the GM. If you took a prospect that good, it didn't work out, because that's a great gamble. It's the same with JSN. Great prospect. You take him, I'm not mad either. Instead of it being like when the Bears draft Mr. Biscuit, I'm like, that's number two. That's too much. That's you tough. Can't do that. Tough. You know, I Jalen Carter has to be one, but I'm expecting him, even with everything that he has gone through, to probably be taken for the Bears. And if that's the case, then my eyes on JSN. I do like this Paris Johnson. Paris Johnson. I should know.
I'm about to say you're in violation. Yeah, you're a Buckeye. You don't know that.
I would take him as well. It's just it puts the Bears in a tough spot, in a good tough spot, because you have three, I think, incredibly talented players in Jalen Carter, JSN, Paris Johnson. You just have to decide which one are you willing to get. But for me, Jalen is first. After that, it's JSN, and then it's Paris. Which one do you want to get? I'm probably going to go Paris.
I say I've made my peace with it. As long as we get a day one starter that's like one of the three, whether it's a receiver, a defensive lineman, offensive lineman, I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty much where I'm at with it. Kyle, who's some of your like who's on your list of like guys, if you were Ryan Poles, that this would be like guys who you would want to get at that ninth pick?
So that's an interesting conversation. I don't think there's many guys that I would take at nine if it's not Jalen Carter or Peter Skoronski. So that's why I thought that if you're not going to get your guy, if you're not going to get the Jalen Carter or Skoronski, I like Paris Johnson Jr. a lot. I just wouldn't take a top 10. I think you trade down because he probably could be there. I mean, depending on who you trade down with, you could trade down four or five spots. You could get a really good starting right tackle at pick 15, pick 17. Even in the 20s, you're going to find some really, really, really good talented guys. So I think it would be more beneficial if you can get one of those guys to trade down. Because I think, I mean, let's just, you know, talk about some of the names. Darnell Wright, if you can get Darnell Wright, tackle out of Tennessee in 15 through 25-ish, that's a steal in my opinion. You get a guy that has shot up draft boards, but he's a pure right tackle. It's not one of those guys that would have to bump over, because this is the problem with taking Paris. He's a left tackle, in my opinion. Exactly. I don't think he can play. So you already have your left tackle, so it that could mess Braxton up. You move Braxton from left to right. It's not as seamless as people seem to make it out to be. It's very difficult because it's just hard wiring your brain and your body to flip, essentially. So you go from pushing off your right leg and anchoring with your left to pushing off with your left and anchoring with your right. It don't just happen, man. People don't just do that. So that's the difficult part about that ninth pick. But I do think there's really, really, really good guys that you can get from 15 to 25, even on the defensive line. Like, we look at guys like, you know, Keanu Benton. He's a defensive tackle out of Wisconsin. These are guys – I'm talking about guys because I got a chance to go down to cover the Senior Bowl and spend a week with those guys. And these are some of the guys that really stood out to me, even past the college tape. It's cool when you see the college tape, but, you know, you only get to play the Georgias, the Ohio States, the Alabamas one time. You get to see them a little bit more against elite competition that they're going to be also pros in a setting like that. So when you dominate those guys in that type of setting where you're going up against the best of the best, they really stood out to me. And Keanu Benton was one of those guys, and he has a lot of scheme versatility. Y'all run a 4-3, so he's a guy that can be inside, play a shade, play a 2-eye. He can play he can even bump out and play some 5-tech in some instances, and he can play a 3-tech. I mean, I think he can play all over the interior of the defensive line, and he's a guy that I think gives you a ton of versatility. If you were to trade down, he's a guy that I would have in mind as well. And then one more guy, just throwing him out there real quick, is I think B.J. Ojulari, edge out of LSU. He's a guy that can get after the quarterback, man. His brother Aziz Ojulari is at the Giants right now. I mean, he has the same type of abilities, type of skill set. And I think he can, you know, he reminds me of a guy like a Robert Quinn, but you just get him younger. If you get a younger guy like that, that he can develop and continue to grow into his prime, I think that's a hell of a pick late in the first round if you were to trade back. And then the second round, they have a lot of guys. This is where I think they should really think about taking a center. You get a guy like a Cody Mock out of North Dakota State. He has functional versatility everywhere. He played guard, tackle, center. You get a guy like John Michael Schmitz. If he's there at the 40th, 50th pick, I don't know exactly where you guys have the second round picks.
It's 53 and 65, okay. If I'm not mistaken. It's like in that range. I'm trying to see.
53 and 61. I just saw
53 and 61.
At that point, I don't know how you feel about him, Flows, but Daywon Jones, he's a guy that could potentially be there a little bit later in the first round or maybe that second round that could be a right tackle. He's a pure right tackle as well. I think he has some footwork issues he needs to clean up, but he's smart, man. People don't – if you really watch the kid play, his punch timing, how he uses his hands, his mean streak, he puts a lot of stuff together well. If he can get his feet – because, you know, they angle set. I'm talking some football talk here. I hope people –
No, this is perfect.
he angle sets a lot, and he's able to get away with it because he's 6'8", 374 pounds. But at the NFL level, these guys are so fast, so strong. I think he needs to be able to vertical set a little bit more. I don't know if that's in his skill set to do. So that could kind of be a little bit of a tricky situation there because he has a hard time passing off stunts. So when you angle set and then you get guys on different levels on the offensive line, it's hard to pass off those stunts. So while he has that crazy size, crazy ability to finish, I think he could be a little bit more refined. But that's why you take a guy like that in the second round. I think it'd be a reach to take him a little bit in the first round. But those are guys that I really have my eyes on for the Bears because I think those guys – or like you talked about earlier, Scott, they are on the same timeline as the team. They might not be – they can play day one, but they're going to peak at the right time, and that's what you really look for here because even if Justin's not the guy and you have to go get a veteran guy or you have to draft another guy, you want the rest of the team to be set. You want the rest of the team to be on the same plane, on the same memo, the same timeline as the rest of the team, regardless of who's the quarterback. So I think taking guys like that will really put them in the best position to do so.
Yeah, and I think, like, even with building out the rest of the team, let's just say there is a world where Justin doesn't do what we expect him to do. That's why I feel like the trade with Carolina was so great because it gives Ryan Poles the safety net. You know what I'm saying? So if – and I know I'm expecting probably – I think either it's going to be Bryce or we've been hearing a lot about Stroud going number one, two. But it's going to be one of them. Either one, they're not going to be a good football team next year. So that's going to be a high draft pick. And you have other draft picks, too, that if in that unfortunate scenario you had to move up to get – a Caleb Orson, it's a deep quarterback draft next year. You have options to play with. So that's what makes the trade like the best to me. But as far as like, I feel like the ninth is like the perfect spot for the Bears. There's so many ways Ryan Poles could go about it. Now, I got a question before we get back to you, Joe. I got a question for you guys. What do you think about a guy like Tyree Wilson? You know, like there's been a lot of smoke about him lately. He's a big motherfucker. He's 6'7". He got like the same length as Giannis. What do you think about a guy like that?
So I'm not nearly as high on him as a lot of people are, but I understand it, right? When you talk about his size, his natural ability, you can't teach that. Like, and I say this all the time when people ask me questions, just from my experience, like 20 years, coaches are the most arrogant people on the planet. They think anybody with talent, anybody with some natural ability, some skill, that they can mold him into the greatest player ever. So that's why you see guys, and you know, I love Anthony Richardson, but Anthony Richardson shouldn't be a top 10 pick, but he's going to go that high because of that.
Thank you.
I think Anthony Richardson is going to be a good football player, but he's only played 13 ball games, man. Like, you can't entrust the future of your franchise with a guy like that right now. Even if he turns out to be a good player right away and he turns out to be a really good player 5-6 years, it's just too big of a risk right now, in my opinion. But back to the point, like, I think when you're taking guys with like Tyree Wilson, you're expecting it to hit on a different type of level. When you take a guy that high, he has to be an all-pro level guy fairly quickly.
Like, franchise changer. Yeah.
Exactly. And I don't see that from him. I do see all-world ability, but I don't see all-world football player. So if he can be refined, he can be, you know, you can hone in on the little intricacies. He's not great with his get-off, which I think is one of the biggest things in the NFL. Yeah, you can get away with it at college because you're bigger, stronger, faster. You're not bigger, stronger, faster in the NFL. So those little details, like getting off the ball on time, and being good with your hands, having a counter move, he doesn't have those things. It's all flash and just natural ability right now. So that's why I think Will Anderson, like, I don't even think it's a comparison. He doesn't have nearly the same athleticism a guy like that. But Will Anderson has the shock and shed. He has the rip move. He has the club move. He can beat you in a plethora of ways. And I don't see that from Tyree Wilson. So while I understand the molding of a guy, it's definitely hard for me to rationalize taking a guy like that high.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Will Anderson was number one on mine. Like, if they didn't trade back that far, I think he's going to be gone, even though Arizona is like the wild card here. Because if Arizona trades out of that,
Yeah,
that's going to mess a lot of shit up. Joe, who's like some guys you got your eyes on, like defensive line wise?
Well, first, I did want to I think Kyra made a really good point about if Justin doesn't work, you want to make sure that everything else is set up. And I guess my analogy to that is if I'm building a PC. I'm building a PC and the 4090 newest graphics card isn't out just yet, but I still have time to purchase everything else. Now, I won't be able to play. I won't be able to get into that top level just yet, but I can get everything squared away. That way, I can be prepared when the newest graphic card comes out. And I think that's the biggest thing for the Bears is that even if Justin Fields doesn't work out, you need to be prepared for anything. And so if you have yourself some good wide receivers, you got yourself some good offensive linemen, you got a defense to set with, okay, Justin didn't work out. You have a high pick coming from the Panthers, plug and play. It's just the same thing as building that PC. All right, we got the piece. We're plugging it in. I don't have to worry about the other one before. I have the newest piece. Everything can work at a higher level. And then that comment about Anthony Richardson, you know, and coaches being arrogant is just perfect because Anthony Richardson's physical talents are ridiculous. They're insane, and I won't even it's literally insane. With that being said, I'm not sure that's someone I'm entrusting in a top 10 pick. It look like some people might be top five depending on the player. After freaking going back to Mr. Trubisky, I'm sorry, Mitch. I'm sorry I have to rag on you again. They took Mr. Trubisky's second one. That wasn't even a thought. So
yeah.
But Scott, you were asking what were my like top prospects?
Yeah, like yeah, for like defensive line, like you were looking at. Like obviously we got Jalen Carter, obviously, yeah. But like who are other guys who might be available?
Well, you got the Jalen Carter, the Will Anderson, who you're not gonna get. Who is the dude from Iowa? Van Ness.
Oh, Van Ness. Yeah.
Which you're also not gonna get.
You don't think he's gonna be there at nine?
Oh, we're talking nine?
I'm just saying, like, it's nine or whoever. It could be second round. Yeah.
I love Van Ness. And that's probably, and once again, it's going to be biased because this is someone who is in the Big Ten. And I get to see most of them play. And especially in Iowa where there is no offense. I watch Iowa games for the defense. It's like, man, who's going to be the next best defensive lineman? I'm guaranteed it's coming to Iowa. I like Van Ness coming out of Iowa. There's one that starts with a W. Georgia Tech?
Keon White. Yeah.
I like Keon White. I really, really like Keon White. I'd also do like Miles Murphy. He is out of
Clemson. I think he'd be a great fit because y'all running that 4-3. His scheme versatility, you can move him around a lot. I think he'd be a really good pick. But but later.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is that
you gotta get the bang for your buck at pick number nine. Yeah.
You gotta get the bang for your buck. When it comes to defensive linemen who I would pick, if Will Anderson by a miracle dropped to nine, which would never happen.
Well, a shout out to Dan Weederer. Dan Weederer floated out today about what if the Bears traded up to get Will Anderson, more specifically just to keep him out of Detroit. Because
that's a dangerous combo. I would be
you don't that. Want oh. You don't want Will Anderson and my man Hutch.
You do that. That is
Justin twice a year.
That's terrifying.
Yeah,
that is terrifying. My best guess is that he goes before the Lions have a chance to get him because
depends if the Cardinals trade.
That's true. That's true.
The Lions are at pick six, and even though I shout out my man Mikey, I got to bet with Mikey because I think they're gonna go quarterback. I think they're gonna surprise everybody and go quarterback. They've only got golf. For like one more year after this year. So that's my prediction.
Like looking right now, you got the Panthers, Texans, Cardinals, Colts, Seahawks, all before you get to to the Detroit Lions. I do not see Will Anderson escaping five of these teams. Carolina Panthers, they're going quarterback. The Texans are going quarterback. The Colts are going quarterback. But then you got the Seahawks, and I do not think that they're going to go quarterback, especially didn't they just pay Geno?
Yeah,
yeah. But they're able to get out of. Yeah, they're able to get out the deal after year one.
Yeah.
If I'm in that position, I couldn't take a quarterback knowing that Will Anderson dropped there. So I'm going to assume Will Anderson doesn't drop there. I wouldn't want the Bears to pick someone just because they're like, oh shit, they're about to get someone better. They're about to get someone who is going to improve the defensive line drastically. I still want them to pick the player that's going to be the best. And the only three people that I have is Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, and Van Ness. That's the only people I would pick defensive lineman-wise. Keon White is great if I'm not picking in nine and I end up getting extra first-round picks. But I don't see that happening. So, yeah, Van Ness is just – that's the person I'm going with if Jalen Carter is not available. Outside of that, then it's a no-brainer. It's get Jalen Carter in. Call it a day. Yeah. You can live with that.
Yeah, you can live with
it. There was a player 10 years ago. Was he LSU? Oh, my goodness. He was the interior lineman, and he looked insane in college, and he ended up being a bust. Oh, my goodness. Was it like 12 years ago? Oh, I have to look him up. Oh, my goodness.
It could be anybody. You got me thinking now. I can't think. I want to know who it is now.
I'm going to just look up best offensive lineman in college history.
Human boy,
was it Glenn Dorsey?
Glenn Dorsey, probably who you think about.
It was Glenn Dorsey.
Because he was one of the best college players ever, and then he had just a decent NFL career, nowhere near what we thought it was going to be. So.
No. He was I mean, college, I thought he was ridiculous.
Oh, he was probably the best I had ever seen at that time. Like in college, like
ridiculous. Literally, when I saw him, I'm like, oh, he's going to be incredible. Even though they missed out on him when they drafted him, it's like, you can live with that because did you see how good he was? Yeah. You know, I don't 100%. Think anybody at the Chiefs is losing sleep that they got him because it's like he was too good. You can't pass him up. It's the same like when Joe Burrow was in the draft. It was, you're going to pick Joe Burrow. And if he sucks, we made a great effort. And I don't think even the fans would be like, well, he's just a bust. You know, that's right. One where the ownership, where the football operations and the fans can all sit back in green and be like, well, you know, instead of here's somebody who had a spark season, has not started before this anytime, and now we're just going to waste a number two pick on him. Sorry, Mr. Biscuit. Anyway, go back to what you were saying, Scott.
Well, pretty much, I was just saying, we're just going to wrap up. I know I got to roll in a minute. But I think just really, we're really going to start like this. One thing I do love about Ryan Poles, and I've said this many times, is we can sit up here and predict what he's going to do. We have no fucking idea. I think me and Joe, when we're there in Kansas City, we're going to be really just trying to see. Because last year, remember, the Bears haven't picked till day two. I don't think, or was it day one? Day one, or late day one, or day two? I don't remember. But that even that was like nobody expected him to go DB his first two picks. Like nobody saw that coming. We all thought he was going to go wide receiver. So I feel like, and Ryan Poles is going to make the best decision. I mean, Kyler had his struggles last year, but we saw how he cleaned up. I really love how he finished last year. Jaquan Brisker was everything I wanted and more in a safety, and he's going to be great to team up with Bojack going forward. So I feel like
day two, Scott. Yeah, it was day two.
It was day two. It was day two. Yeah. So it's really gonna be. I feel like he knows what he need, what this team needs. And I also feel like they're not done free agency wise. Actually, there's a lot of names still left that I think once the draft is over, we're gonna start seeing those names fly out. So I'm really interested to see what he's gonna do. I think there's gonna be a couple trades. He's got like 10 picks right now. I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up like 13 or something like that. He multiplied the picks by like five or six last year. So that's pretty much all on the table. Yeah. So I'm just really looking forward to see. We can finally stop talking about all this because Bears Twitter right now is like, you know, I feel like Bears Twitter is so, you know, over anxious that we don't even have nothing to talk about no more. Like we don't even see arguments on the timeline no more. It's just the, what are they going to do? So I'm really interested to see how that's going to go, man. Kai, thank you for joining us.
Before we get off, I do want to have asked Kai one question. What is your preferred base defense, the 4-3 or the 3-4?
It's funny. I just did a show last night, and I got asked the same question. But it was because I kept saying – they kept asking me about individual players, and I was like, well, it depends on the scheme.
Yeah.
He asked me, well, what scheme do you want to run? I said, well, it depends on the players.
Yeah.
It's like if I'm going into an organization, if I – from a football mind, I would prefer to play a 4-3. Mm-hmm. If I'm a front office and I want guys that – I want to – it's cheaper to run a 3-4. You're not going to be paying defensive guys. You're not going to play those extra defensive backs as much as you would play another really good interior or exterior defensive lineman. So from a football mind, I'd rather run a 4-3. I think it's just the best, most versatile. If you have the pieces to run it, it's the most versatile you can be. I would run a 4-3, run some type of Tampa 2 defense if I had the linebackers that could carry those tight ends up the field because I could cover every aspect of the field with this base defense. No matter what you do, I could be in position. So that's what I would prefer to run if I had the horses to do so.
I love the real football talk on here, man.
That's I haven't used this part of mine since I was playing football in high school. So I was like, yeah, I think I know what a shade is. Yeah.
But Kyle, man, thank you for joining us. Let the people know where they can get in tune with you, everything you've got going on, stuff you want people to check out. Let them know.
Just follow me on Twitter. All my stuff, all my writing, all my player breakdowns, all my stuff that's on YouTube. It's a link tree in my bio, and everything that I have will be on there. And I have a bunch of stuff coming out. Just did some stuff with the Miami Herald coming out. Did some stuff with the ESPN Radio in Memphis. We got some stuff coming out. So I've been really busy this pre-draft process, and I'm glad to stop by because this was one of the more relaxed where we could really chill and talk about it and not have to be so – like a suit and tie. I got to watch what I say. Like, right. Yeah. So this was really cool. So I really appreciate you guys for letting me come on this.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Oh, well, we're glad to have you on. Definitely want to have you on again, man. We're going to do one more episode. We're going to talk about wide receivers sometime before the draft. We was going to have the homie Mikey on, but he's in, I think he's in Puerto Rico right now, enjoying his vacation and gambling. If I know Mikey, like I know him. So we're going to try to see if we can get him on before the draft. But me and my brother will be live in Kansas City, giving y'all all the up-to-date stuff. If you don't like the what's called the picks coming out before it hits the TV, because some reason we get it like super quick. And I didn't even know until last year when we went to the Vegas one. So we're going to try not to spoil it like that. So, but follow us. And if you're in Chicago and you need a place to watch the NFL draft, come down to Haymarket Pub and Brewery. That is in the West Loop area of downtown Chicago. If you was at the 200th episode of 79th and Hallis last summer, you know it's a great venue. They've got great beer specials. They've got amazing food. That's Haymarket Pub and Brewery, 737 West Randolph Street from 5 to 10:30 p.m. Doors will be opening at 4:30. It's going to be hosted by the homie J.R. Bang. The homegirls, the label, are going to be DJing. And we're just going to have a good time. We ain't going to be there, but y'all can drink in our honor. We're probably going to call in while we're there, give y'all updates and things like that. You have to RSVP. The link is on the Barber's Chair Twitter at Barber's Chair Net RSVP. We've already got a nice amount of RSVPs already. So reserve your spot. Come through. You don't have to be a Bears fan of you. If you want to come, all fan bases are invited.
Not Packers. Stay home.
I said not Packers. Stay your ass home. But it'll be fun, man. So we're really looking forward to seeing y'all there. Just really for this whole process to be over, we can really get locked in into what this 2023 roster is going to look like, man. So you know to follow us on Twitter at Barbchair Scott, at Flows and Dolini. Follow 79th and Hallis, 79th A-N-D Hallis on Twitter. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Got a new episode of Cinema with the Guys out right now. New episode of Summer Sessions out right now. Everybody's returned except for Joe. We're still waiting for him to return to the show. Even Damian came, and he just got married. But check that out. There's a new episode of I'm Not Gonna Hold You. I did a whole NBA playoff preview episode. Check all of that right now on the H&B Media Twitter. And me and my brother gonna holler at y'all next week, man. We're gonna have a lot of content coming for y'all during the draft. We're gonna be doing videos, the whole thing while we down there in Kansas City, man. So we'll holler at y'all, man. We out.